If you like children and you enjoy their company and you find them sweet, you find them funny, we'd love to have more people to come and serve our kids as well. There's always space to serve. So come and speak to us if you'd like to get involved. I helped with Flame last week for the first time, and it was the funnest hour of my week, without a doubt. It was great. So I'm going to invite up Mauricio. Let's hear it for Mauricio. Woo! So I'm just going to pray for Mauricio. By the way, my name's Tom, if you weren't here at the beginning, if I haven't met you before. My kids have gone up Flo at the back, my wife, if you haven't met her. Mauricio is such a loved member of this church. Most people here probably know how much he serves us. Such a servant-hearted guy, mainly with the youth. And I'm just going to pray for him before he preaches. We've got a real treat in store today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Mauricio. Thank you for the gift that he and his family are to our church. Thank you for this man's passion for you. Thank you that he's a man after your heart. Thank you that he shares from the heart, doesn't hold anything back. We pray, give him so much boldness today. Thank you, just like with the worship, Lord, you are leading this part of the service. He is submitted to you. He knows your voice. And he's listening to you, and you're going to speak through him today. And I just pray that we would receive it. We would receive what you have to say to us today, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hello, church.
Hello.
Good morning. As Thomas said, my name is Mauricio. I'm one of the youth leaders here at New Life at Bassett Street Church. And I'm going to put my timer on just so when it gets to 2 hours and then I can stop. Okay. When I was asked by Nick earlier before to do a talk for today, I was actually reading online about myths and legends, because it's something that I really like. I've always liked classics like Roman history, Greek. But interestingly, I was reading about a myth about the Fountain of Youth. I don't know if you heard of it before. Definitely when you had the colonizers from Europe going to the Americas, from South America where I'm from, the Spanish and the English, the French, there were many civilizations and cultures that talk about the Fountain of Youth. And the story of the Fountain of Youth is that depending on where you're from, it would imbue the drinker or the bather, depending on the legend, with youth. It will imbue the drinker or the bather with healing properties for illnesses and disease. And in many cases, immortality. So my talk today, church, is not a talk, it's not a sermon, and it's not a preaching, it's a story. And the title of my story, which for the recording, my title of my talk in that case, is The Prophet, the King, and the Real Fountain of Youth. Before this particular king was born, a prophet was called. And during prayer, at a young age, this prophet had a vision from the living God, the real Fountain of Youth. In the year that King Uzziah died, I, the prophet, saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, angels, with six wings, two covering their faces, two covering their feet, and the other two used for flying. And they were calling to each other. They were singing, just like we were singing earlier on. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh Adonai. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of the voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple were filled with smoke. Woe to me, cried the prophet. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King of Kings, the Lord Almighty. A prophet who was the son of the brothers of kings, of royalty, felt unclean and unworthy in the presence of the Lord. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, said the prophet, with live coal in his hands. With it, he touched his mouth. How peculiar that not even an angel can touch with his bare hands the coal. He had to use tongues to be able to touch the mouth of the prophet. See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. In the presence of the Lord Almighty, we are unclean and unworthy. But his power atones and his power takes away sins. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And the prophet stood up, said, here I am. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Spoke the Trinity. Here I am. Send me. In prayer, God talks. He does. But do we listen? In prayer, God asks and commands, but do we obey? Do we dare drink of the sacred water? Because the prophet did. When he was praying, he was drinking from the fountain of youth, the real fountain of youth. And he needed to. For you see, church, this prophet was called to a kingdom to serve in the palace and in the temple of a kingdom. And many a king came during the time that this prophet was serving. And these kings did not drink from the same water that the prophet was drinking. The first thing that many of the kings did was close the doors to the sanctuary and of the temple, where the heart, the real fountain of youth was found. They closed it and they turned away from God. It was so bad that idol worship took the place of the living God and the living waters in their hearts and in the land, all across the land. Human and baby sacrifice became a common thing. Many more evils came, polluting the sanctuary. Until the birth of a peculiar king, who at the age of 25, and against all odds, against even those who had preceded him, included his own father, who had actually sacrificed this king's brothers and sisters to the pagan god Baal. This king decided to go on his knees and drink from the real fountain of youth. He was 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem for 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his ancestor David had done. He removed the high places. He smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake that Moses had made in the desert to save them from the snakes. For up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Neshetan. In other words, even the bronze snake itself had become an idol. They were worshipping the bronze snake. The king trusted the Lord, the God of Israel, and no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast. He was fasting and praying, for he was drinking from the real fountain of youth from the beginning of his reign. He kept the commands of the Lord that he was given to Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he was successful in whatever he undertook. And we see that his first act of king was to do something that nobody else was done. He walked to the temple and he opened the doors of the sanctuary so that not only him and the prophet could drink from the water, but so the people within his palace and his temple could also now come and begin to drink from this living water. When they had assembled their brothers and consecrated themselves, they went in to purify the temple of the Lord as the king had ordered. Following the word of the Lord, the priests went into the sanctuary of the Lord to purify it. They brought out to the courtyard of the Lord's temple everything, not something, not most of it, everything that was unclean that they found in the temple of the Lord. And so they began to take away from their hearts and from the sanctuary everything that had taken the place of the living God, the true fountain of youth. And it didn't stop there. It wasn't just the people in the palace and in the sanctuary and in the temple. The king decreed and asked his cousins, his kin from the northern kingdom, to start coming down. All the different tribes are scattered among the land. You can come too. You can come and drink from this water. Although most of the many people who came from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun, the different tribes, many of them had come down but had not purified themselves. Yet they ate the Passover contrary to what was written. They had come together to begin drinking from the living water. And they were going to celebrate the Passover from slavery, the free from bondage, from Egypt. We all know the story. But they did not purify themselves. So what did the king do? The king prayed. And the king prayed this: may the Lord, who is good, pardon everyone who sets his heart on seeking God. The Lord, the God of his fathers, even if he is not clean, according to the rules of the sanctuary. And the Lord heard the king and healed the people. Let me put this prayer to you another way, because this is how it is from our perspective. If we seek God and we have a heart of seeking God, we will receive pardon because God is good. Because God is good, he will pardon those who seek him in heart. And so it came that the prophet and the king and everyone in the kingdom was now drinking of the water. And it was said that there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the days of Solomon and David, the great kings of Israel, there had been nothing like this in the kingdom. There had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. The priests and the Levites stood to bless the people, and God heard them. For their prayer had reached the high places. They removed the idols. They drank the waters of the living God. They sought him. And the prayers began to reach the living God. And so it was said that during this time that the prophet and the king did throughout Judah, they were doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord in everything that they undertook in service of the God's temple, in obedience to the law and the commands. The king sought his God and worked wholeheartedly. And so he prospered. Now, and so they needed to, because to the gates of the palace and of the temple came a knock. The first trial and tribulation that every single one of us here will go through in our lives, just like people are going through right now in Ukraine. because war had come to the gates. Every single one of us will go through a physical, external battle, one way or another. Be it physical war, be it at home, be it at work. Externally, some of us will fail a trial and tribulation, all of us. And so it had come, war had come to the kingdom. The strife, the hate, the malice that's come with it. And the Assyrian army, the empire had come. One of the biggest empires in the ancient history of man. And the generals stood outside the gates. My king, prophet, surrender now, for we have taken many lands, including your brethren in the northern kingdom. They've been destroyed. Many lands, when we come to their gates, they all say the same thing. Our God will save us. And where are they now? Exiled, prisoners, in bondage, or dead? Who is your God? What difference would it make? Mocking the living God. Mocking. But the king and the prophet, full of vitality from drinking from the fountain, from the living God, encouraged the people. And this is what the king said. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is a greater power within us than with him. With him is only arm of flesh and blood. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what the king of Judah said. Stronger is the one who is with us than the one who's out there. He will help us fight our battles. And so it proved that the king and the prophet cried out in prayer to heaven about this. Cried out in prayer. Cried out in prayer during the trial, during the war, during the battle. Cry out in prayer to the living God. And let us see what he does. And the Lord sent an angel who annihilated all the fighting men and the leaders and officers of the camp of the Assyrian king. So he withdrew to his own land in disgrace. And as the Bible would tell us, and so would history, that the Assyrian did not conquer Jerusalem that day. And actually it tells us that when he went into the temple, he went back to Nineveh, which was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. He was actually killed, cut down by his own sons to the sword in this pagan temple. God had delivered them from the physical and external battle, for they were drinking from the fountain of youth, the real living God. But then came another knock. The second trial and tribulation, church, that every single one of us will go through. And this one is a more personal one. Because all of us, church, whether we are young, whether we are middle age, or we're an elder, it does not matter. For illness and disease will come. All of us. And so it came to the king. In those days, the king became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet went to him and said, "My king, my friend," with the burning coal that was given to the prophet when he was called, because it's not easy. This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die and you will not recover. Preparing this story today, this was the biggest challenge for me. To understand what answer I would give to when you get that type of news. I've had it in my family. I've never received this kind of news myself. Perhaps some of you have. Or you know people who have. But what did the king do? What did the king do? He did the best thing that he could do. For it says that he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. What can you do? And his prayer says this: remember, O Lord, how I have walked with you faithfully and wholeheartedly in devotion, and I have done what is good in your eyes. And the king wept bitterly. The king wept bitterly. And we will. Every one of us will weep bitterly one day. The prophet was walking away, and he was walking through the courtyard. And before the prophet could get too far, the Lord came to him and spoke to the prophet. Go back. Go back and tell the king these words. This is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, says. Let's listen to this. I have heard your cries. I have seen your tears. And I will heal you. I promise you, church, there is nothing sweeter. There's nothing sweeter in a Christian life when we are going through moments of bitterness in our life to hear the voice of God telling us, I have heard you and I have seen your tears. When we walk through the valley of shadow of death, can we hear that light telling us how he has heard us and he has seen us and he will heal. He will provide, because God is a provider. God is a healer. And just like the fountain had delivered, because the prophet said to even more, on the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the new king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for the sake of my servant David. Then the prophet said, prepare the poultice of figs. They did so and applied it to the boil, and he recovered. The Lord provided a prescription of figs. How interesting. Jesus could heal from a word to using sometimes the ground. God is great. Just like the fountain had delivered them from war and physical battle, the fountain had delivered them from a personal battle, from an internal one. But just like all of us, church, after 29 years, we are told the king reigned with an extraordinary 15 years, but with his many faults, as he was a normal man, just like us. This man of God was laid to rest with his ancestors. But you see, church, the prophet's job was not yet done. And there's a word of caution to this tale. Because just as the father of this king had been an evil man, so it proved that after this king died after 29 years, his son came to the kingdom. And his first act as king was to go to the temple and the sanctuary and to close the doors again so that nobody could drink from the living water. And if an action, as if the word of telling us that he turned his face away from the living God and idol worship came back to the kingdom. And so it would be written by the prophet himself that a new empire was going to come. And so it came. The Babylonian Empire came from Nebuchadnezzar and destroyed the kingdom of Judah. Destroyed the palace, destroyed the town, destroyed the temple where the fountain was found to ashes. But there is a word of hope, church. There is a ray of light that shines through the darkness. There is a seed in the stump, as it says in the very prophet at the beginning of the book. Because the prophet would tell us that no longer would the fountain of youth, the living God, be found in a sanctuary or in a place. No longer would we need one day doors to open and close it. One day, all and everyone who are thirsty will be able to come and drink and never be thirsty again. And so we are invited near the end of the prophet's life, inspired by the Spirit of God, through drinking the living water, he wrote these words, an invitation to the thirsty. Come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread? And why your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest of fare. And here, we get the third knock at our door. For not only, church, does the Bible tell us that we will have war and physical battle in our life, not only will we have illness and disease come to our door, but the Bible tells us that we have a soul. And that after our heart stops, our eyes close, and the electrical signals and pulses that our brain sends, our soul will live on. And where will it go? For that is the biggest battle that we struggle with. This is the biggest one. Because we all die at different ages. We all have at different ages. But what is eternity to our time? The wage of sin is death. That's what it says in the Word. What value do we place on our soul? Give ear to me, says the prophet. Come to me, says the living water, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love, promised to David. And he gives a warning. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Now, today, now is the time to come to the Lord. Now. Seek him while he is near. One day he is not near. One day he cannot be found. Now is the time for our soul to look to the living waters and to come to God. Now. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. Remember the prayer of the king. For God is good. Those who seek him will receive pardon. We are all evil. We are all wicked. Not just Putin. We are all evil and we are all wicked. And we all need mercy and we all need pardon. All of us. Before we ask others to drink the water, let us drink the waters ourselves. I end with the epilogue of my story, church. And so it proved that the prophet was laid to rest with his ancestors. For they came to him also. And 700 years later, a woman is going to a well. How ironic. To get some water. A Samaritan woman. this northern kingdom that we mentioned, the capital was Samaria. She's a descendant, perhaps. She's a Samaritan. And she encountered someone there in the world. She encountered the real fountain of youth. Not the well, but a man of flesh and blood that we can see, we can hear, touch, that can speak. She encountered him right there, face to face. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw and the well is deep. Where can I get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us a well and drank from him himself, as did also his son and his flocks and his herds?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks will be this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water I give them will be a spring of water welling up of eternal life." Then the woman said, as she understood it in her head, but not in her heart. And I wonder whether in our Christian life, how have we understood the message of the gospel? "I know that Messiah, called the Christ," said the woman, "when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you, I am he. I am the Savior. I am the Ancient One. I am the Holy, Holy, Holy Lord Almighty. I am the real fountain of youth." Let us stand, church. Let us pray. Let us close our eyes. If we have said one day that we have encountered the Lord and we did not feel unclean like the prophet did, if we did not feel unworthy or sinful, then we must consider where we really had an encounter with God. I pray, Lord, I pray that we can see you. I pray that we can drink the waters. I pray, Lord, that we can drink from the real fountain of youth. Because on the cross, you took those sins. You took that unbelief. You took that war, that hate, that strife, that illness, that disease, and you took my soul, and you saved it. You did everything, everything for us, everything. It cost you everything. And the prophet writes, how much does it cost us? Nothing. It's free. And it costs you everything. I pray that as a church, before we begin to bless this community around us, let us drink the water ourselves. Let us drink the water at home with our children, our brothers and sisters. Let us not be like the king who his father and his son turned away. Let us call our parents. Let us call our children. Let us call our brothers, our uncles. Let us call them. And let's drink the water. Let's drink the water that the Christ, the Messiah, gives, for we will never go thirsty again. Lord, I pray that we provide a foundation in our hearts where idol worship has taken control of our lives rather than you. I pray, Lord, that if there is sin in our life, let us be compelled. Let us see it like the prophet did when he saw you, that he felt unclean. He felt unworthy, Lord.
Let us be purified by the beautiful fire that not even the angels can touch with their hands. We praise you, Lord, and let us see you. Let us see you. Because you say that those who seek you, that you hear their prayers, you hear their cries, and you answer them. I pray for all of us, church, in this today. If anyone's going through external or physical battle, let that person come and drink. I pray if anyone is going through personal battle, mental, physical, inside their body, oh Lord, anything, let us come and drink. And I pray, oh Lord, if we've never decided, we don't know, we're unsure if we're Christian or not, how much value do we place on our soul? How do we know when we die? Science can tell us when our heart stops, but what can it say after we've gone? How do we measure the soul? How do we measure the spirit? What instruments do we have in our labs? How do we measure it? How much value do we have? Because you paid everything. Your son was worth everything. How much value do we place for our life? So if you're unsure that you've never received Christ, now is the time. Search the Lord while he may be found, while he is near. And he will pardon. He will have mercy. I pray this in Jesus' name, Lord. We honor you and bless you. Let us drink from the real fountain of you now and for the rest of our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you, church.
Thank you so much. I just recognize the Lord is speaking to us today. We're going to sing a song now. And we're ready to go. As we sing this song, for many of us here, it's something we've sung before, we've said before. It's recommitting to follow Jesus. When we sing this, it's going to remind us of the first time we decided. But if you're someone who has not yet drunk of that water that will never leave you thirsty, you've not yet trusted in Jesus, then you can trust in him today. He knew the woman's sin at the well. He knew her suffering. And he had nothing but love for her. He gave her what she needed. He accepted her. And many believe because of her testimony. So if you'd like to follow Jesus for the first time today, you pray to him. It's not an individual thing. It's not only an individual thing. We're a family. So after the song, myself and Luke, Mauricio, we're at the front. If you'd like to pray with us or anyone else you're here with and tell them about your decision. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, as we sing these words. You're going to do us so much good in our heart. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If Joanna, you keep playing, we're going to draw the meeting to a close there. But if you'd like to pray with the person next to you, or you'd like to pray for them, or you want prayer from one of us, come. If you want to just go and chat now and get ready for coffee, you can do that. I'm just going to close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness to us today. Father God, thank you for your goodness today. Holy Spirit, thank you for working in our hearts today. We just pray that as we move into praying for each other or waiting for coffee, chatting, we pray that we would just be so aware that you're still working with us. Every minute of the day you want to speak to us and lead us. And you are so good, and we're so grateful, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.